So we're going to turn to God's Word now, and we're beginning a new series in the New Testament. And I hope that this will be helpful. As we go into a new year, it's a really, one of the things that this passage is famous for is talking about love. You know, this book talks a lot about love, and we hope that this year will be a year full of love, that we will know God's love and that we will share God's love and kindness with those around us. So I hope that this is going to be helpful to us as we go into, we'll be really looking at 1 John through January and into February. We don't know how long we're going to be in tier 4. We hope that it won't be long, but it might be longer than we would hope for. So we need to be prepared for that. We might be meeting like this online, but that video at the beginning reminds us that the church isn't the building. The church is us. You know, you and me, we are the church. We are the body of Christ being built into with living stones to be the temple where Jesus lives and Jesus makes himself known. So it's really important that we remember that. I don't know what you did at Hogmanay. We ended up on the street at midnight, keeping socially distant from our neighbours, but just greeting one another. It was a beautiful moment to be able to do that. May we be filled with God's love and God's power and just be people who shine with his light. So let's turn to the Bible now. We're going to look at 1 John. So let's open up. I hope you've got a copy of the Bible with you and you're able to. I'm going to bring it up on the screen so you'll be able to read it as well. But we're in the first letter of John. So please turn to that now if you've got a Bible before you. But let's read it first of all. It begins like this. No salutation, no, this is from John, nothing like that at the beginning of this letter. It was probably a round robin letter that went to several different churches or lots of different churches. Some people think it was like a preface to the Gospel of John, and it went alongside when the Gospel of John was being distributed. This also went out with people, but we don't know that for sure. But let me read it for us now. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Let's pray briefly as we begin to consider this passage. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this new year. We pray that you would speak into it through your word, through the Bible, as we listen to it, as we study it, both today and in the weeks and months to come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the first letter of John. And what do we know about John? There's quite a lot of things that we know about him. He was the Apostle John. He was the son of Zebedee and Salome. He was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. He may have been a fairly wealthy fisherman, having several boats. Some people believe that his mother was the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And apparently he was a wealthy person because he had hired servants. We read about that in the Gospel of Mark verse 20, first chapter, verse 20. He had a home in Jerusalem. He had access to the high priest's home in Jerusalem, which shows he was a person of some influence. We read about that in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And it was John who Jesus loved and who Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to. So And he's also renowned. His church tradition suggests that he was the longest lived of the apostles, that he lived for a long time. He outlived the other apostles and eventually moved to Ephesus after the death of Mary. And it was him that wrote the gospel. They wrote these letters, pastoral letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. So he was a prolific author, and he had much to say. And this letter was written to deal with, well, it was dealing with lots of things, but interestingly, it was written to deal with those who thought they had more knowledge than other people, that they had secret knowledge about God that needed to be imparted and certain things that needed to be adhered to. And people were beginning to deny the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus was merely a man. So John is writing to try and counter that. But so he's dealing with heresy effectively, but interestingly, he's trying to do that while saying to people, look, be loving, stand up for Jesus, but be loving as you do it. These are difficult times to be living in. So we are living in difficult times. We know that. We do not know what lies ahead. We thought last year was a hard year. And we hope that this year will be a better year, that with the vaccine coming on stream, that will roll out quickly and that we will all be able to get it and we'll all be able to return to some level of normality. But we don't know that. We don't know for sure what this year is going to look like. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, or we should ask ourselves the question, well, in whom are we putting our trust? Where are we getting our help from? Now, there are practical things that we need, and we need to watch out for one another. We need to help one another as much as possible. And as always, I want to begin this year by saying, look, if you need help in any way, if you contact us, we will try our best to bring you whatever help we possibly can. So please bear that in mind and look out for one another, be caring for one another. But I want to begin this year by really focusing in on the person of Jesus, because that is what John does in this first letter. So what are the things that we might pick up on this morning? What things might we just hear from God that he has for us today? Well, the first thing is this. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. You know, he says this at the beginning of this letter. John says this very clearly. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at with our hands and touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word of life who comes to bring eternal life. Now notice this is a whole sensory thing, isn't it? It's a whole of life thing. It's not just a mental thing, an intellectual thing. John talks about this very powerfully. He says, we've seen Jesus. This is one of the things that indicates to us that this was written by the Apostle John. We've seen him with our eyes. We've looked at and our hands have touched. So they've seen and they've heard and they've touched Jesus. It's a whole experiential thing. This is one of the proofs that this was written by the Apostle. But he is the life. He is the word of life. The passage goes on. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So this is life. Jesus came to bring life. John 10. It's a theme of John, isn't it? John 10 verse 10. I've come that they may have life and life in all its fullness. And that doesn't mean to say just having fun and having great experiences and having great belongings, but actually having spiritual life as well. That's why Jesus came, that we might know God and be in relationship with him. And I suppose what I'm thinking about here is we've got used to a certain way of life and certain pleasures and joys. If you think for a moment about the things about your life before COVID that you miss, the things that you would love to do that you can't right now, I wonder what those might be. I know one of the things for us is just being able to travel. You know, we had one little period in the late summer where we got to travel a little bit. We were able to go down to the borders for a few days, and it was wonderful and it was glorious. It wasn't quite right because we couldn't do the things and go the places that we would want to normally go to, but it was beautiful just being able to be away and to walk and to enjoy everything around us. Now, we can still walk and enjoy everything around us, but we're on a bit of a limited scene that we're able to do that. But that's enjoying life. You know, it's enjoying the life that we've done, and it's important and it's great that we're able to do that. But I wonder whether one of the things that the Lord might do for us right now is to remind us that all life comes from him. See, John begins like this: that which was from the beginning. Jesus wasn't simply a man who the Holy Spirit filled and made special. Jesus is part of the Trinity: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Jesus was there from the beginning. Everything was created through Jesus. So it's a great realization that this one who is involved is there at the through whom all things have their meaning and being, that this one came into this world, lived a life like yours and mine, but is in fact the life. He is described by John as the life. The life appeared. So the first thing that we might take on board this morning is, where do you derive your meaning from, or your identity from? Identity politics is a huge thing right now, and it's because people are so insecure and uncertain, and I think it's we're meant to take our identity from our relationship with God, our relationship in Christ. Our identity is in him. So, and he is our focus. So today, maybe the suggestion, very gentle suggestion, is that we rethink where our life is rooted, in whom is our life rooted. So that's the first thing. Christ is our life. It's true of us as individuals. It's true of us as a church. You know, we get caught up in identity politics, but we also get caught up in church politics. And my goal, my desire for us as a church is that we are so rooted in Christ, that he is our life, that everything that we choose to do, that everything we are about as a church is about Jesus and making Jesus known, that he is our goal, he's our desire, he's our first love. That's the first thing. Second thing is this: Christ came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. That's when John talks about Jesus. He's seen him. He's talked to him, he's heard him, he's even touched him. The fact that John was close to the Jesus family, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, he was so aware of Jesus's humanity. The heretics that John was having to face up to were trying to deny that Jesus really came in the flesh. And so he wants to stand up against that. Christ came in the flesh. He is embodied in human flesh. Now, what I love about this, this Jesus that John proclaims, he may proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. What I love about this is that just clear awareness that Jesus knows what it is to live a human life. Christmas and New Year is not an easy time for many people. I was reminded of that over the last few days. One of the children of a cousin of mine has passed away very suddenly, and it's a time of grief. It can be a time of such grief for people, and so painful for people. And no words can really bring comfort when we lose someone we love. It is so painful. But I'm reminded again and again that Christ came in the flesh, and he knew what it was to suffer. As we said a few weeks ago, he came low and he went lower. But he also experienced the pain of loss, So when Lazarus passed away, he wept. He wept. He knew what it was to lose people. That's what it means to come in the flesh. John observed this Jesus up close, suffering with those who were in pain. So if we're suffering, if we're struggling today, then Jesus, God, knows exactly what we're going through. I noticed this morning that on the BBC, they've got back-to-back worship times. I don't know who's on it or what's on it. A friend of mine was preaching at the first service at 10 o'clock, the Bishop of Down and Dromore. And it's wonderful to see that. There's much more spiritual stuff going out in the media. And I think it's because there's a recognition in times of trouble, all the candy floss stuff that is put out isn't enough. That actually we're spiritual creatures and we need help. Whether we agree with everything that's put out or not, it doesn't matter. It's a sort of recognition that many, many people will be helped by the spiritual. But here's the biggest thing about that. The question about the spiritual stuff that goes out is, does it point to Jesus, who is the life? Who is the life, who came in the flesh, who understands our suffering, who is God incarnate. So he came in the flesh. If you're in trouble, if you're struggling today, Jesus knows. Jesus knows because he's been here and he's with us now. So that's the second thing. The third thing is this. Christ brings fellowship. Verse 3 says this. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Now, there's two parts to this, really. One is fellowship with us. If you're going to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, that fellowship is gathered around the person of Jesus. It's in agreement with who Jesus is and what God has done in his Son, Jesus. That's whom we gather around. That's where fellowship comes from. One of the things that we miss at the moment is connecting with one another. It's been so good to meet up with one another in church and to enjoy one another, and that's, it's horizontal, it's relational. We need that as human beings. We crave that. It's rather like our spontaneous gathering in the street outside on Hogmanay. It was just a joy of briefly connecting with one another at a key moment. And that's why church gatherings are so important, that we're able to do that. I love when we do this online stuff that that people will put greetings. I'm assuming that I'm not following what's going on in the comments on Facebook, but I'm assuming that people greet one another as they have done all the way through this. And that's fellowship. But here, the physical fellowship is the thing that we long for, and we want to be in connection with one another. But let's recognise that fellowship is gathered around the person of Jesus. It's not just the fun, you know, let's have a cup of tea together after the service. That's part of it. But even in doing that, we are gathering around the person of Jesus. And that was particularly important for John, because he wanted to remind people not to fall for the false Jesus that was being given out by what was called the Gnostics, the heretics, who wasn't fully man and wasn't fully God, but around this amazing man who is God. But notice he also goes on to say this, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ brings fellowship. As we turn to him, he brings fellowship with God the Father. He brings us into relationship with God the Father. The thing that we miss right now is relationship with other people. It's so hard not being able to connect with one another face to face. It's so painful. It's so difficult. But at all times, we have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, made possible through Jesus Christ. It's an amazing knowledge, fact, truth, that we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. So when we're on our own, that perhaps is the time when we are most conscious of it, or we might be most able to enter into that relationship when there are no other people around us. But when we are with other people, we're reminded again, particularly, especially when they are fellow believers, we are in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. So again, this year, let's make that a goal, that our desire is to enjoy one another when we're able to do that, but to recognise that we're doing it in the presence of God the Father, made possible through God the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me end, or very nearly end, with this. I wonder what we proclaim. See, what John proclaims here, he's very clear about what it is that he proclaims. The life appeared, we've seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now, we talk about eternal life, often we talk about it in terms of believing in Jesus so that we might have eternal life with the Father, with God. But it's fascinating here that John is talking, when he talks about the eternal life, he's talking about Jesus, who is forever, who was at the beginning and who will be the end, who's the Alpha, who's the Omega, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. He's everything. He's in everything. He is everything. He is the eternal life. And the truth is this, that's what we're going to enjoy forever. Eternal life, the presence of Jesus. And it begins now. We have fellowship with him now. So that's what we get to proclaim. We don't proclaim the church. We don't proclaim the Bible. We don't proclaim an organization. We don't proclaim how great we are. In fact, we proclaim quite the opposite. We recognize our weakness and our frailty. But what do we proclaim? What is it that we're going to proclaim? In 2021, this new year, with all the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead, what are we going to proclaim? Or rather, who are we going to proclaim? Who are we going to proclaim? Well, my prayer is that I will continue to proclaim Christ's eternal life. And my prayer for all of us who are part of the body of Christ is that we will be people who do that as well, that we proclaim Christ alone. And I know that this last year has been difficult to do that well, but partly because it's been difficult to connect with people in the flesh. But the Lord will give us opportunities to make Christ known. So let's make him our focus. Let's enjoy the love that God has shown us in Christ. Let's enjoy that, but let's also make it known. So with that in mind, I wonder whether we might confess. We might spend some time confessing our sins to God and do that in a particular way this morning, recognizing that maybe last year we didn't get it right, that there were things that were difficult and hard. Maybe we got cross about stuff that we ought not to have got cross about. Maybe we weren't loving God enough. Maybe we weren't loving others around us enough. Maybe we were frustrated and we'd just lost our focus a little bit. I know there were times in the last year where all of those things were true for me. So I imagine that, at least for some of you, a lot of you are a lot better than I am, but at least for some of you, some of these things will be true. So I thought it would be good, as we begin the year, as we end this time together, but as we begin the year, we spend a little bit of time in confession. So we're going to use some words to help us do this now, some words of confession. So I wonder whether you will say that you could say these words with me, these words of confession. So just take a moment to pause and just be quiet. Consider the word of God from 1 John. And then I'm going to bring these words up to help us. And so we say these words together. Most merciful God, we confess we have sinned against you and our neighbours. We've acted in our own self-interest and been blind to others' needs and pain. We've turned away from suffering for our own comfort. We have ignored injustice. We have committed injustice. We've participated in systems that hurt our siblings in Christ. We have not heeded your request to care for this earth. We have not seen you in the face of others. We have not loved our neighbours. We have not loved ourselves. We have not loved our bodies. We have been trapped in shame. We have shamed others. We have not lived as you call us to live. We humbly ask for your forgiveness. We resolve to remember our baptism, that we are made new in Christ. We resolve to remember Christ's grace and extend grace to others. We resolve to do the hard work of repentance, the hard work of change, and the hard work of doing justice in your name. We resolve to love ourselves so that we might love our neighbour. We resolve to shake off shame. We resolve to obey God, follow Christ, and listen to the Holy Spirit. We resolve to seek life in its abundance. We ask for your help and guidance in all things, and those we name before you now. And so let's receive the Lord's forgiveness as we go into this new year. Let's begin afresh. Let's begin anew with the Lord. Christ died that we might be forgiven all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, I hereby declare to you forgiveness of all your sins. Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And it's hard to do this in this day and age with so many distractions, calling us to sin, calling us away from abundant life, calling us to define abundant life by what we have and not what we give. May you walk in this new year, knowing in your bones that your sins are forgiven. And at each and every moment, Christ calls us away from sin and towards abundant life in him. May you have the strength to walk in the path the Lord has set before us. May you have comfort, the comfort of knowing God is always with us. May you be confident in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Turn and live anew in Christ. Amen.